Call is now being recorded.
Hi, all. This is John Heerdink with the Groundwork Forum podcast. Thanks again for joining us today. I have the pleasure again to speak with Stephen Quay, who is the chairman of the board and CEO of Atossa Genetics, which is based out of Seattle and doing some great work in the line of breast cancer treatments and development. Hi, Stephen. Can you be so kind to give us a little bit of your background and your focus at Atossa Genetics?
Absolutely, John. It's a pleasure to speak with you today. So my background includes an MD and PhD in chemistry from the University of Michigan, and then residency training at the Mass General Harvard Hospital in Boston, and then in my 20s then was high energy at night, was working over in the chemistry department at MIT with a Nobel Prize winner. Taught at Stanford for almost 10 years, where I started my first company to commercialize the invention I'd made of the gadolinium that's used in MRI contrast agent. It's been used in about 70 million people to find brain tumors and spinal tumors, or to look for multiple sclerosis lesions, those kind of things in MRI scans. So Atossa Genetics is my sixth company. I've invented five FDA-approved drugs and taken them through the clinical phase process. But I have to say that I'm more excited about what we're doing here at Atossa in the breast care space than all of the companies combined in terms of the impact this might have on the medical practice going forward.
Yes, the work you're doing is so important and affects so many of us and our families. Thank you for doing the work, and we wish you complete success. I guess you've had some exciting news today, July 13th. You put out a news release regards to opening your phase two study in an oral endoxifen to treat breast cancer in the window of opportunity setting. Would you be so kind of maybe start with telling us a little bit about oral endoxifen?
Well, sure. So I think most people have actually heard of tamoxifen. It was the first hormonal treatment for cancer, still the most successful hormonal treatment for cancer. But in the last few years, despite it being decades old, we've learned a lot of new things about it and things that Atossa Genetics is taking advantage of in a very rapid fashion. The first of all is the fact that tamoxifen itself is inert. It's no more effective on cancer than, a sugar pill. But what it does is forms the basis of making endoxifen in the body by the liver in doing two pieces of chemistry on the tamoxifen. The problem with that is that the liver can not do it at all if you have the wrong genes. So that's about 20% of women. Or it does it very slowly, even in women who can make endoxifen from the oral tamoxifen. It'll take 50 to 200 days for a woman taking daily tamoxifen to get enough in her bloodstream, to get enough endoxifen in her bloodstream to have an anti-cancer effect. And of course, the tumor is growing during that period of time. Breast cancers can double, every 28 days or so. So waiting 50 to 200 days for a cancer drug to kick in is just not acceptable. So we are developing oral endoxifen to cut through that liver metabolism process. And in our phase one trials, within 4 hours of the very first pill, women had therapeutic levels in their bloodstream. By 7 days, they had steady state levels in their bloodstream that were therapeutic. And this is going to really rapidly improve the effects of this drug on breast cancer, in our opinion.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. I know when it affected, when my mother was hit with breast cancer, I know the first thing in your mind or her mind must have been, and certainly in my mind when I found out, was, how quickly can we deal with this? Having any sort of delay is alarming when you find out you have cancer or have breast cancer in this case. So, looking forward to seeing how this can be successfully put into the marketplace. When you speak about the window of opportunity and that you had in your press release today, can you speak a little bit more about that? I know you just touched on it, but can you sort of drill down on that a little bit for us?
Well, I certainly can. So studies that involve the window of opportunity are working on the theory and the concept that from the time of biopsy and diagnosis, so You know, the pattern is a woman has a mammogram or she feels something, she has a biopsy with a needle, and then 4 or 5 days later she sits down with a, you know, with her husband or important partner in front of the doctor and gets the news that she has breast cancer, and the beginning of her treatment plan is initiated during that first meeting. Typically there's a 3 to 6 week period of time before a lumpectomy is done, before mastectomy is done, before radiation is done. And in that window, there's been a hope that we could start treatment sort of the night that she has that meeting, and that an oral treatment given every day could actually have an impact on the size of the cancer 3 to 6 weeks later. Again, the hope has been that, well, the cancer can get smaller, the cancer can almost disappear, the surgery can go from a mastectomy where you remove the breast to a lumpectomy where you're taking out something much smaller. So in the case of the majority of breast cancers, which are estrogen-dependent driven, about 3 out of 4 breast cancers are what are called ER-positive, studies, clinical trials of treatments, particularly with tamoxifen in that window, have been a big failure. We now know that it's probably because the tamoxifen didn't have the 50 to 200 days it needed to get therapeutic blood levels. So we are very excited about the idea of a woman having a meeting at 4 o'clock in the afternoon with her doctor and that night getting a script at the pharmacy. So by 8 o'clock, she has therapeutic blood levels of endoxifen and she keeps those, maintains those, for the next 3 to 6 weeks before she has her surgery. We're very hopeful that we will see that the cells have stopped dividing, the cells have died, the tumor has gotten smaller, the surgery is downstage. Those are the kind of endpoints you have in this window of opportunity period. And again, you know, I guess for investors who I have to think about sometimes as well as patients, these trials are very quick. So a patient comes into the trial and by 2 months later, that patient is done. And we're on to the next patient. So, the efficacy and safety in these window of opportunity trials, very rapid. And again, having a treatment that could be given to the 200,000 women a year who are on that path between diagnosis and surgery, would be very exciting to be able to have an impact in that space.
Just a peace of mind to know, as having gone through this, you know, obviously not directly but indirectly with my mother, having that immediate application and service, a peace of mind for her, for everyone to feel like you're having some effect instead of just waiting around. That alone has got to have a positive impact, depending on how effective it is, especially, of course, but just that alone, I hope that pray that you get that through. So let me make sure I understand this, and for the listeners, is you started the trial, welcome in. What is the timeline that you put out to the market when you might be able to get to see the first results, or what should we expect there?
Yeah, let's drill down a little bit. So the trial design, remember all clinical trials have two primary endpoints, safety and efficacy. So let's talk about efficacy first. The endpoints here are, I am a scientist, so I get kind of excited about them because what you're doing is you're taking a biopsy that you've taken out of the woman with a naive cancer, and you can measure all kinds of things on that in terms of how many cells are dividing and what is the genetic activity of the cell. Lots of very nice high science parameters that can be measured in that naive sample. And then a month or 6 weeks later, you come back with a sample that's been beat up by endoxifen daily for that month and a half, and we can repeat the same test in the same patient in the same cancer. So it's extremely well controlled from a scientific point of view, which leads to the fact that we don't need a lot of patients. We haven't communicated the full design of the trial, but we're very excited about getting the trial started, and we're very encouraged about being able to report to the market the results of this trial again in the first half next year. So I just can't emphasize enough from an investor's point of view that being able to see a clinical trial start in the summer and be done before the next lunar summer comes around is a bit phenomenal and is a great opportunity for folks.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. It would impact so many so significantly, and wish you the best of luck in this process. And again, Stephen and followers that are listening today, I just remind you that Aptosa Genetics is a publicly traded company that you can find a great deal out about. Its symbol is ATOS on the NASDAQ. Their website is www.atosagenetics.com. Atosa is A-T-O-S-S-A and genetics, G-E-N-E-N-E-T-I-C-S.com. The other source I would point out to you is to go to the Vista Partners website, which is Vista, P as in Paul, Global, so Vista P Global. And there is, under the coverage section, there is a company dedicated page for Atosa that we're continually writing new stories, highlighting what others are saying and experts in the space, including management and Stephen, as well as writing reports and giving you access to a number of the financial links, as well as the technology behind this. So definitely begin to do some work on this exciting company and look forward to speaking to you again, Stephen, on other calls to learn more about your work. And keep up the great work. Thank you so much today.
And thank you, John, for your time.